I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of salvation by faith. We're going to start with Romans chapter 10. We're going to read a few verses there in Romans chapter 10. We're going to read some other verses as we normally do from different places. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, we're going to read, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." I think every Christian, I know it was just surprising to me that the God that I didn't know, didn't care to know, even though I was a church member and had been baptized at 12 years old into a church, as far as God was concerned, I didn't even really know He exists. I just lived my life like most of us do, just do whatever I want to do, and God didn't even enter into my thoughts. But when God got a hold of my life and I surrendered my life to Him, one of the first things that happened to me, of course, I had a desire for the Word of God and had a desire to pray and so forth, but I also had a desire in my heart for the nation of Israel. Amen? I find a whole lot of Christian people have that because God, our Heavenly Father, that's His, they're His chosen people in a special way. He chose that whole nation. Through that nation, Jesus was born and came into this world, and that's why God chose that nation. That's one of the reasons, but the other reason is He loved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so He chose that nation. And, of course, they haven't always been like they were God's chosen, like some other Christians around that have professed Christianity. Anyway, the nation of Israel went far away from God, and, of course, He promised and He told the nation of Israel, just like He did those of us that are Christians, if we're not careful, if we don't become doers of the Word and do what He tells us to do, then we're gonna be in trouble. And they didn't listen, and they did get in trouble. And as a result of that, He even warned them and told them in a couple of places that they were going to be scattered throughout all the nations of the world. And that happened. Their country, they didn't even have a country anymore as far as they were concerned. There may just have been a few handful of Jewish people there in that country, but their nation has ceased to exist. Then He said, "In the last days, I'm going to bring you back from all of the nations in which I've scattered you, and I'm going to reestablish you in your land. And that desert land over there is going to blossom like a rose, and you're going to become a nation again and a mighty nation." And we saw that begin to happen during World War II, you know. So everything that's been written about the nation of Israel in the Old Testament and the New has come to pass. Amen? And that's why we know, one of the reasons why we know God's faithful to His promises. It may take Him some time, but He does fulfill His promises. Amen? Aren't you glad we have a promise-keeping God? Amen? Because that's how we're saved, on His promises. And we're saved by faith. In other words, we have to trust what He says. Amen? And sometimes we may not see it exactly the way we want to see it, but we still have to trust Him that it's going to be that way. Amen? So Paul said Paul was a Jew. He was born in Israel. And he was of the tribe, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was a Benjamite. So when he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire," he was not talking to his brethren necessarily who were Jews. He was talking to his brother who the Bible tells us as Christians and as Gentiles, when we all come into the body of Christ, and he explains this in a couple of places in the New Testament, in Ephesians and Colossians, that Jews and Gentiles all came together in Christ. And now we are His chosen people as the body of Christ, as the church. Amen? And so when he says brethren here, he's not just talking to the Jewish brethren, he's talking to Christians. Men and women who have been born again by the Spirit of God. But he says to them, and that's to us because it's written, and we, you know, the Word of God is for us today too. Amen? All right. "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He wants them to be saved. And that's the word we're going to talk about today, saved or salvation. And he says in verse 2, And I want to say this also because we have multitudes, and I'm going to go and say probably millions, that are in the same condition today in this world as the Jews were when Paul said, let's pray for them. And what condition is that? Here's the condition of most people in the world today. Religion is one of the most, religion's all over the world. Just about everywhere you go, somebody says, I believe in God. Amen? And they have some kind of religion. They may practice it a whole lot, or they may practice it a little bit, or they may not practice it at all, but you can talk to them and they'll tell you, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, and so on. So Paul is saying here, just like the Jews in those days, people today, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. In other words, they want to serve God. They are going to try to please God. They're going to do their best to have to make their way into heaven through religious activities, do's and don'ts, keeping the commandments, keeping the word, just all kinds of things associated with religions. And as many religions as there are, there's many different ways that they tell you that you can be saved. And their zeal for God is that just do whatever it is our religion says to do and everything's going to be just fine. Are you with me? So that's the Jews had a zeal for God. But their zeal for God, just like people today, but their zeal for God was not according to knowledge. They didn't understand what it was that God wanted and how it was that God was going to save them. They had just pretty much either believed a lie, as a lot of people have today, because there's many false prophets that's gone out and told them lies. And I've asked people over the years when I worked in jobs in different places, are you a Christian? And they'll tell you right away, I believe in God. Well, that's not the answer. Or I believe in Jesus. Or I go to church. Or I have religion. Or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm whatever. You get all kinds of answers. Because being ignorant, and they're really, a lot of them are not in the Word of God at all. Those that are to a large degree are in the Word of God in such a manner as their religion or their whatever their doctrine or whatever they were brought up in. That religion has been taught to them, and that's basically about all they know about the Bible. Amen. And unfortunately, not many of them. Now, they can believe in God, and they can believe in Jesus Christ, and they can believe that He died on the cross, but we're going to find out that faith doesn't just mean believing. Faith is... And what salvation by faith has a meaning. And it's not just we believe. It means we trust. We rely on. We depend upon God to save us. Not ourselves or what we can do, but what He did on the cross through the Lord Jesus Christ, His precious Son, through the shedding of the precious blood, and the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Why is that? Because they being ignorant, they're not ignorant. They're ignorant. They don't have any understanding of what it means to have the righteousness of God. They have their own righteousness, which comes by the things that they can do, but it's not by, as the Bible tells us, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is a righteousness of God. And that righteousness means a right standing with God. We have to have God's righteousness in order to stand before a righteous, holy God. If we're ignorant of that righteousness, and we believe in God and we have some form of religion, then through that religion we're going about trying to establish our own righteousness so that God will accept us. And God is saying that I loved you so much that I sent my son, and he lived a perfect righteous life, so that now, and he took your place because you're unrighteous, you've sinned and come short. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? And all of our good works of righteousness that we may try to do cannot rebuild us or refashion us so that we can come in and that God can come in and we can have a relationship with Him. It doesn't come through religion. It comes through a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. That's faith. And that's what we need. Not what the world has today, but what God has today, which has been the same from the very beginning. Jesus Christ was who created everything. The Bible says He was crucified from the foundation of the world. In other words, God's plan of salvation hasn't changed before He ever created the world and put man on it. He had a plan that His Son was going to come and give His life so men could be saved. Are you listening? It's not something new. We call it the New Testament and the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of the things that God was going to do in what Jesus did in the New Testament. Everybody understand where I am so far? All right, so they have a zeal of God, verse 2. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, which is what religion does. It seeks to establish its own righteousness because it does not understand there is a righteousness of God that's free. Have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So faith means that those of us that are going to be saved by faith, it means that we have submitted, we have left off our righteousness and submitted ourselves to the righteousness of God, which was through Christ Jesus our Lord and our Savior. Amen? He becomes what you are, the righteousness of God, the Bible tells us, in Christ Jesus. God has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when we put our faith in Christ Jesus, we become righteous. Now, does that mean that we don't live righteously? No, we're going to find out here in just a minute that the righteousness of God doesn't come by the law or works or rules and regulations. It comes by the Spirit of God working in us and us cooperating with His Spirit so that we can be, not only are we the righteousness of God, but His righteousness and His love flows through us, and He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we do a whole lot more than what the Ten Commandments do. We have to follow the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And listen, He knows even what we think. It's not just what we do, it's how we think. And His salvation and His Spirit covers all of that, and that's what it means to have the righteousness of God. And we quit trying to establish our own righteousness. It doesn't mean that we're unrighteous. It just means that we're more righteous than we ever could be, because our righteousness is the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Our righteousness is the righteousness of God, which is through Christ Jesus. Amen? When the enemy comes to attack Christians, one of the first things that he does is he tries to condemn us. There is therefore now no condemnation. Are y'all with me this morning? Good night. This makes me want to stand up and shout. Praise God, I am shouting. Amen? Amen. Because there is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? I mean, God doesn't. He goes on in Romans chapter 8. So who's going to condemn you? Is it God that send his son for you? Is it the son who died for you? No, they're not going to condemn you. So what difference does it? There is no condemnation. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that, because the enemy comes and tries to condemn us and judge us, and we get all confused because he tries to blame us. We don't live sometimes like Christians. I'm the only one that's been a Christian for over 60-some-odd years and ministering and filled with the Spirit of God. Am I the only one that doesn't live up to... Don't we all get in the flesh from time to time? We shouldn't, but we do, because there's a battle going on now, because there's two natures. We have the human nature, which is completely, totally alienated to God, and then we have the divine nature, which is totally acceptable with God, and one is the spirit in the Bible, and the other is called the flesh, and the flesh and the spirit war against each other. And that's not because you're not a Christian. That only happens because you are a Christian. Because if you're not a Christian, you don't have that, and you don't even know what I'm talking about. So, verse 4. I'm still not where I wanted to be, but that's all right. I'm where God wants me to be. Amen. Romans 10th chapter, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So Christ, when we receive Christ, that's the end of the law of righteousness as far as we're concerned, because we have put to everyone who believes. That word there doesn't mean I believe in God. It means I have put my trust and my faith in God. I don't deserve to heaven. I don't deserve any of God's blessings. I don't deserve God's righteousness. I don't deserve to be saved, but I am saved because He saved me and because He loved me, and I'm born again by the Spirit of God into His kingdom, and He is my Heavenly Father. Amen? That's salvation. That's what faith is. I have put my faith, I have put my trust in God. Now, so whenever, as Christians, the Bible tells us, fight. You listening? Fight. What do you fight? The good fight of faith. Amen? We fight the good fight of faith. Because the attack is against our faith. It's the enemy comes against our faith. Whenever I had a man, let me just share with you. I'm going to give you an example. I've used this years ago. I had a man years ago, and I was a pastor of this church, I think, or about to be pastor of this church. It may have been right before we did this, but started the church. But anyway, Christian, knew the Lord, pastored some churches, was dedicated to, my wife and I, dedicated to the Lord. A man came by, and I was working, and I'd always wanted to be free from working, making a living, construction companies and engineering firms and all that. I wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be full-time for the Lord, and I didn't know that I had to wait for the Lord to do that. I thought I could make it work. You with me? Yeah. Anyway, so this guy came along and he said, I have this Christian book business I'm having people invest in it, and it's going to be stands. This is before these little stands came out, and you can see them all everywhere, all over the country now, in HEBs and everywhere. They're a little metal frame stand that circles around. They've got books stuck in them all everywhere. You with me? I was getting into that business on the ground floor. And I thought, wow. I even went around to the HEBs and some of the stores, because I went ahead and gave him my money, $5,000, which I didn't have. I had to go borrow from finance companies and banks and whatever to get, because I didn't have it. And my wife, bless her heart, was telling me all the time, Lewis, I just don't agree with you on this. I'm sorry. But I hadn't yet learned to really listen to her. I hadn't realized God had given her as to me as a helpmate. Are you listening? And so I didn't pay any attention to what she said. So here I went and got us in debt, $5,000. But I wasn't concerned because this book business, I already had it set up with HEBs. I could put 10 or 12 racks on each in their stores around here and service them and get the books. And I was going to be, I'd be doing fine, right? Well, the only problem was the guy was a thief. He took my money, and not only mine, but I don't know how many hundreds of other people that he had invest in that, and not any of us ever got any racks or any books. And I guess he's still in prison even to this day. Because he had some... I went to his office. When I first found out that let me get back to the point. I wanted to kill him. I'll just be real simple. I wanted to kill him. I wasn't the only one that wanted to kill him. There was a whole bunch of people that wanted to kill him. And the only reason I didn't kill him was he wasn't around here where I could get a hold of him. He lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But I had made plans one of these days, I'm going to make it to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm going to go up there and I'm going to kill him. Are you listening to me? I was so eaten up with hate. And here I am, a pastor. Am I in the flesh? I'm sure not spiritual, let me tell you. You listening? Well, I'm so glad he wasn't around here because there was three days at least. I know it was at least three days and nights. I was just filled with hate because I was left owing $5,000. I had no money in which to pay it. I had a job which I was just barely able to pay my bills, and now I owe these finance companies $5,000, and I couldn't pay them back. So can you understand why I was... I'm not trying to excuse my stupidity in it, but now you can understand why I was filled with hate. And so about the third night, I was laying in bed about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep, and I was thinking about, where does he live? How could I get to him? And when I get to him, I'm not only going to just kill him, I'll kill his dog, his cat, anybody that gets in my way. I'll burn down his house. I'm telling you. I'm going to do a number on him. That's exactly right. I was going to make him wish that he had never done anything to me. And so I was laying there about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning thinking about all of this. And the Lord spoke to me, and I don't even know how he spoke to me in the condition that I was in, but I heard his voice just as clear as the day as I'd ever heard it. He said, "Lewis, get out of the bed, get on your knees, and forgive that man." Get out of the bed, get on your knees, and forgive that man. And I knew that was God. And I'd already turned my back on God one time when him telling me to do something, and I didn't do it. And I wasn't going to, I swore I would never, ever do that again. So what was I going to do? I was going to get on my knees like he told me to. But here's what I said when I got out of bed and I got on my knees. I said, "Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to get on my knees. And I'm going to say this guy's name, and I'm going to say I'm forgiving him. But I want you to know it is not coming from my heart. I don't mean it." It didn't make any difference to him. Because as soon as I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, I forgive so-and-so and such and such," no sooner than the words had come out of my mouth when the love of God took all that hate and bitterness out of me and filled me with His love. And I wanted to go see that man and tell him I loved him and put my arms around him. Amen. Man, that's what I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about. It's not our righteousness. Our righteousness can't do what I just described. Only God's righteousness can work that in us. But it does take our cooperation. We have to work with Him so that He can work in us both to will and do of His good pleasure. That's the reason why He says in Philippians 2:13, the last part of it, "Work out your own salvation
with fear and trembling. And then verse 14, I think it is, 13 says, for it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You with me? So, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And that righteousness works in us through the power of the Spirit of God, doing but whatever it takes to please God. We don't do it in our own strength. We submit ourselves unto God, and because we're new creations in Christ Jesus, and we give ourselves to Him. And even if we have to say, Lord, I can't do that. I know what you want me to do, but I can't do that. Would you please help me? Then He's going to help us. Even if we say, I don't do that, I will humble myself and repent. Amen? Repentance is not just for sinners, it's for saints also. When we mess up, we need to repent, because repent means to have a change of heart with and a mind with a corresponding change of directions. It means we turn away from what direction we're going. We don't want to do that anymore. But when we do that with God's help, and He gives us the power and the ability to do it, because He fills us with His Spirit. Are you with me? That's so much different. That's salvation by faith. And it's so much different, so different, completely opposite from what man's religion is, seeking to be righteous by establishing our own righteousness, which we can't do. So for verse 5, Romans 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. And what he says, when Moses wrote about the righteousness of the law, what he says actually is what's quoted here, the man who does those things shall live by them. In other words, you're going to have to live perfectly by the law if you're going to try to be righteous by the keeping of the law. Which, what is the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You can't even do that. That's the first commandment. Jesus took all 10 of them and summed them up into two when the lawyer came and said, well, what is the great commandment? He said, well, I'll just tell you, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that either. We can't do that. We can love ourselves. We may can help our neighbors from time to time, but as far as loving them and putting them before ourselves and putting God before us, we cannot do that in our own flesh. And so therefore, we can't keep the righteousness of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. So now here's the difference of righteousness by faith, which is God's righteousness. Not man's righteousness, but it's God's righteousness. Verse 6, look at verse 6 of Romans 10. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. It says, don't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? In other words, you can't go up into heaven and bring Christ down to save you. That is to bring Christ down from above. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the abyss? That is to go down into the pit and bring Christ up from the dead. You can't do that either. If you could do either one of those, or both of those, then you could save yourself. So you can see how difficult and how impossible it is for you to save yourself by man's religions. You can't, by the law. So what is it? But what does it say? What does the word really say? Verse 8. The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's the word of faith which we preach. I know I preach. And everybody that has that faith preaches the same thing. There is no other name given among men under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. That's a word of faith. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, that is, put your trust in your heart in that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not anything that we do other than just turn on our little decision device and say, okay, Lord, if I'm going to be saved, it's going to have to be through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, your Son. I put my trust and my faith in Him. And when I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord, and that doesn't just mean that I say that Jesus Christ is my Lord. That means I live my life that Jesus Christ is my Lord. That is, I make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. When I don't understand that when I first come to the Lord, don't miss. When I was 18 years old, I just come and said, Jesus, come into my life, save me, whatever I prayed, and He saved me. But then I realized that He was my Lord, and I wanted to do what He wanted me to do. He became my Lord. And I've had to repeat that two or three times in my life. I've had to stand one time and when a norther was coming in and lightning was flashing in Victoria, Texas, when I was about 20 years old, I stood in my backyard and I said, Lord, You're my Lord. And I raised my hands and I said, God, Lord, You're my Lord. Jesus, You're my Lord in my life. And if I can't serve You and live for You, then just send a bolt of lightning right now and strike me dead, because I don't want to live. And God led me to say that. And I meant that with all of my heart. Have I lived that 100%? Well, I'm still serving Him to this day. But there's been some times when I didn't. Are you with me? But I'm thankful that I was in His hands. He wasn't in mine. Okay, so if you confess, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with a heart, not just with your mind, but with your heart, with all your soul, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Here about 5 years ago, I'd gone away. I just told Pat, I said, I need to get away. I'm going to go be myself. I had a place I could go stay in Dallas-Fort Worth area. They told me to come anytime. They had a place I could come and stay. And I was just going to get alone. I had to go. I was going through some spiritual things, and I just had to get away. And so I got away and got up there and got with the Lord and just got by myself, got my mind off of the church and got my mind off of my job and got my mind off of my wife and my children and got my mind off of myself and my failures and whatever else and my incapabilities. And I just drew nigh to God. He just drew nigh to me, and He just grabbed me up and took me in His arm. And on my way back, I was there one night or a couple of days. On the way back, coming down highway, whatever highway that is, coming back into Ingleside, I was between Dallas and Fort Worth along through there, and I was just praising God and just happy, and He and I was having conversation, and I was just filled with the Spirit, and it was almost... I just wanted to stop my car and get out on the side of the highway and walk up and down the side of Highway 45 praising God and saying, praise God, glory, hallelujah. Amen. That's the way I was feeling. And when I got to Sinton, I was coming from Sinton into Taft, and right between Sinton and Taft, which is about 10 miles, the Lord said, Lewis, I want you to say something. And I said, okay, Lord. He said, I want you to say, I'll go where You want me to go, and I'll do what You want me to do, and I'll speak what You want me to speak. I said, all right, I'll go where You... I'm feeling good now. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'll go where You want me to go, and I'll do what You want me to do, and I'll speak what You want me to speak. And I'm just really driving, and He said, say it again. I said, I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll speak what You want me to speak. Still driving along. Say it again. Now He has my attention. Now I'm thinking, what am I saying? And that's what He wanted me to think. What are you saying? Now this time I said, I'll go where you want me to go. With the understanding that he may take me somewhere I really didn't want to go. You with me? I'll do what you want me to do with the understanding that there's some things he may want me to do that I don't want to do. And I'll speak what you want me to speak, and there may be some things that he want me to speak and say which I don't want to say. And so when I got through saying that, I'll go where you want me to do. I'll speak what you want me to speak, so on. Then I said, Lord, with your help. With your help. Because it dawned on me, I realized I can't do that on my own. I'm going to have his help in order to be able to do that. And that's what he wanted me to realize. He wanted me to realize two things. Number one, I belong to him and I was supposed to do what he wanted me to do, is say what he wanted to say and go where he wanted me to go. Number two, I couldn't do it in my own strength. He was going to have to help me. And I went on back down the highway praising God, and because I had again, he had brought me back to that place where I had to speak that and I had to say that. And I had to understand what it meant. And I did. And he did. I did and he did. Amen. So, saving faith is not just believing in God or Jesus Christ, that is, that they exist. It means God's my Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And it means I'm just not a hearer of the Word, I am a doer of the Word. And that brings us to skip down to verse 17 in Romans chapter 10 real quickly. How do we get this faith? So then, Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? That's how we get the faith. That's how our faith is increased. You can't have faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You just can't please God without faith. Can't please Him without faith. The reason you can't please Him without faith is because he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We have too many people just taking their religion and their relationship with God too carelessly. Oh, that's all right. Just believe in God. Believe in Jesus. He died for you. He forgave you. So everything's going to be just fine. The Bible says be diligent. As a Christian, the Bible speaks to Christians several places. Be diligent to make your calling and your election sure. Don't just take it lightly and just ho-hum. Jesus Christ is your Lord or He's not. So, let's go to James chapter 2. I want to close with this. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says, he has faith, but he does not have works. Can faith save him? In other words, if God is not working in us and Jesus Christ is not our Lord, and the faith that we have is not the faith of God working in us and our trust in Him, doesn't produce any works in us. As far as the works of God is concerned, it may produce religious works in us, but it doesn't. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm talking about here? Can that kind of faith, in other words, blessed be God and Father, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope
James 2:14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can faith without the works of God save him? If a brother or sister is naked," so he's going to give us an example here. If somebody comes to you and they're naked and they don't have any clothes, they're destitute and they don't have any food and they're hungry and they need help, and you just say to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Just go ahead. God's going to take care of you. You just go down your way. Somewhere along the way, He's going to take care of you. Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled." And you do not, verse 16, "but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, well, what does it profit?" So he says also, verse 17, "also faith by itself, as it does not have works, is dead." So we have people today that have that kind of what they call faith. And it does not have associated with it the works of God. It only, and with the works of the Holy Spirit working in them, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It has religious works and trying to keep the law and establish their own righteousness and try to make themselves acceptable enough so that God will hear their prayers and save them and all of this other stuff. You with me? But verse 18 of James 1, James says, "You have faith." You will say, verse, but some will say, "Well, I have faith. I have works. Show me. You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe, verse 19, that there is one God. That's good. You do well. Even the demons believe. Even the demons have that kind of belief. Demons, even they know that there is a God. And they tremble. But do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So what I'm saying to you, salvation by faith is just not this easy believism religious stuff that we have going on in the church world today. It is that we call Jesus Christ is Lord. We bow before Him and say He is Lord. We confess Him that He is my Lord. I'm tired of trying to run. This is basically what we're saying is, I'm tired of trying to run my own life. I see I can't do it. I need You to come and take care of me and run my life. I confess You as my Lord and my Savior. I put my trust in You. And then I confess that with my mouth. I say out loud, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I mean it. That means I want to do what He wants me to do. That's the kind of faith that will produce some works in you, because God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. And then ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Amen? He said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it'll be opened to you." He said, if you being evil as a parent know how to give good gifts to your children, if you ask a piece of bread, are you going to give him a stone? If you ask for some fish to eat, are you going to give him a serpent that'll bite him? Well, then if you know how, now this is what Jesus was teaching. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost to them who ask Him? Amen? Praise God. Isn't this wonderful? It is just absolutely wonderful. Because not only does He give us the faith, but He gives us the wherewithal to function in the faith that He gives us. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. First thing that happened to me when I was saved, I got so excited about reading this book, I couldn't get enough of it. I wanted it. If it would have done any good, I'd have literally tore the pages out of it and eaten it. That's the way I felt about it.
You have to get into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we walk by faith, and we fight the good fight of faith. So if we don't have the God kind of faith, and we don't nurture it and build ourselves up in the faith, then we're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because he's going to come around and tear us up. Amen? Let's stand. I want to thank you again, every one of you, for your patience and for being here. I pray for all of us, you guys especially, that are here and those whose names are on our prayer list, that you'll be filled with the Spirit of God, that Jesus Christ would be your Lord, that you would be blessed by Him beyond your fondest dreams or imagination, and that you would know with all your heart that God is your Heavenly Father, that Jesus is your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is your Comforter, and He brings your peace and your comfort, His peace, God's peace and God's comfort to your heart and to your life, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray this, we thank you for it, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful day, everybody. God bless.